The first reading is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 installed as rulers. Hear the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep, no battery. It's okay. Yeah, that's what happens when you don't check it between services. It's okay. You know, sometimes things don't quite work according to plan. Sometimes they just don't do what you want them to do. Sometimes even the best laid plans just don't happen. And it's okay. Why is it okay? Because humanity is humanity, but also because we have a wonderful God. And he makes us secure through the one who is the one of peace. That's Micah's promise, isn't it? Which Renee read to us today. He makes us secure. And that's one of the things that is celebrated in our Advent time. So, you know, the beauty of it is that because Jesus has given us forgiveness from our sins, we can celebrate through when things don't go quite right. We can say, you know what? It's okay. It's going to work out fine. And we all make our mistakes. And why, my goodness, I've made some mistakes in my life. I know that. So it's all good. Would somebody like to light some candles for me today? Anybody in a candle lighting mood? Ah, oh, they're racing to the front. I think Jan should light some candles because she's had some very special birthday time this week. So if you'd like to, you can do that. All right, so our first candle, who remembers what the first candle is for? First candle is for hope. So through the prophets, throughout history, we are taught to hope that God will be with us in his Son. Second candle is for peace, the peace which comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The third candle is for joy, the joy, not just happiness, but the deep joy that comes from knowing that God is with us. And the fourth candle, which we light today, is the candle for love. There we go. Excellent. Thank you, Jan. It's okay, you can sit it there. Fourth candle is the candle for love. The love of God, his chesed, which is a faithful, merciful love. The thing is, anybody who knows me knows I walk around a lot. And if I'm tied to this, I'm just going to fall over the thing. So there we go. Now I'm free. I like to talk and walk. The love of God is the word chesed is used for his covenant love. And one of the things about that word is it's so deep. It is so deep. And throughout scripture, we find it translated in different ways. It gets translated as faithfulness. It gets translated as mercy. It gets translated as covenant. It gets translated as steadfast love. It's a word which is the depth of God's love for us throughout history, always and throughout time. It's an amazing word, and I love it, and it's here in Micah when it talks about God's mercy. So today we remember the covenant love of God. And the reason why we have four weeks of Advent is so that we can spend time really sitting with the prophets. We've had a prophet every week, haven't we? We've had Jeremiah, and we've had Isaiah, we've had Micah, and we've had Zephaniah. And each one of these prophets is looking forward in time. Micah is looking from 730 BC. It's a long time ago. 730 BC. So in 730 BC, the people were really fearing the Assyrians. And at that time, they were worried about what would happen next. Micah is prophesying in that time frame. We have another prophetic utterance today, and that's from Mary and Elizabeth. And we're going to read through Mary's song in a moment, but let's sit with Micah for a moment, because Micah tells us some very interesting things. Micah tells us Bethlehem is one of the little clans of Judah. Bethlehem is a little place. It's not far from Jerusalem. It's David's town. It's where David grew up. And what was David? What did David do before he became king? He was a shepherd, right? So in Bethlehem, there are a whole lot of sheep. That's a little bit New Zealand, more sheep than people. And it was the sheep in Bethlehem were there close to where the temple is in Jerusalem, being brought up so that they could be used for the sacrifices. The sheep in Bethlehem were used as the sacrificial lambs. Bethlehem itself, the name Bethlehem is Beth, that is house, Lahem of bread. Now, if we put all this together, have a little think about how this works. Very interesting. I don't think God's seen it going, I'm going to make sure they call this Bethlehem so that we can do this. But it's very interesting, and I love the way it comes together, because these are God's happenstances, Holy Spirit stuff, I think, that the Son of God, who will become the bread of life, is born in the house of bread. The Son of God, who will become the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, the ultimate sacrificial lamb, is born where the lambs for the sacrifice are bred. Isn't that interesting? Bethlehem doesn't have a lot of pasture. It does have enough for them to do what they need to do. There's not a lot of pasture in that part of Judea, although there was more back in the time of Micah than there is now. Back then there was a little bit more there because slightly different climate at the time. Things have changed over time, but also if you graze the same paddocks for a long time, then sometimes it takes a while for things to recover. However, Bethlehem's paddocks, they have these little trails of grass, and the grass is not sort of, we're used to paddocks that are just grass, aren't we? But they're actually hill country, and there are trails, and the sheep go along the trails and eat the grass on the side of the trail. And the shepherd leads the sheep from the best grass to the next best grass to the next best grass. That's how they work. So the image of Bethlehem as this little out-of-the-way place, which is quite small and was still quite small, where David came from, it's the town where the great king came from. Now another great king will rise. And this great king is one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Now, there's an echo of Daniel here, who calls God the Ancient of Days. the one from of old. Now, our children are new creations, aren't they? They're born brand new, beautiful creations from mum and dad, part of that wonderful flow of life. We don't have children who are from of old, but this one is from of old because he is not just a human child. He is the Son of the living God. And there is a time when God gives up his people, which we see when the Assyrians come in about 4 years later. And then the one who is labor brings forth, and the rest of the kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And that happened later. And he'll stand and feed his flock in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For he will be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Jesus has fulfilled all of that, hasn't he? 730 years before Micah spoke it, Jesus' life fulfills it. And more than that, he's still fulfilling it. As Kevin reminded us at the beginning of our service, he is still fulfilling it. Jesus is still the one of peace. Jesus is still the one who to the ends of the earth is great. Jesus brings us something which only God can give. When we look at Mary, dear Mary, a lot of things about Christmas are about Mary, aren't they? And Mary should be someone that we honor as the mother of Jesus, because that's important. We don't worship Mary, of course, but Mary is mother of Jesus. She's an important person, very important person, and important person to look at. But there's also Joseph in the background too, and it's good to remember that Joseph is there too, because without Joseph, Mary couldn't have done what she did. We needed a strong man to work with her. Very important. But we're focusing on Mary at the moment and Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is Mary's cousin. It says relative in the Greek, but normally that refers to someone who is a cousin, part of the same clan anyway that Mary is part of. And she's gone to Elizabeth. Now, she knows that Elizabeth is pregnant because the angel Gabriel told her. He said, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant, 6 months pregnant now with a baby that God has given her. And so Mary goes to Elizabeth. Why does Mary go to Elizabeth? Partly because she's a relative, because Elizabeth is relative to her. And in the last weeks of pregnancy, often the women relatives would come to support women who are having a child. But also, who else is going to understand that she's having a baby of the Holy Spirit? Let's face it, it's not easy stuff to get your head round. Joseph had his moment. Joseph wasn't sure what to do. Mary goes off to Elizabeth. Joseph, in the meantime, has a dream where Gabriel comes to him and says, it's okay, this is God's son. Stand by Mary. And he does. When Mary walks into Elizabeth's house, she is in early pregnancy. But the baby within Elizabeth's womb is going to be John the Baptist. And that baby jumps up and down inside her when Mary walks in the door. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, after all, although this is not like Mary, Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah got together and this child's been born the normal way. But it was still a miracle because Elizabeth is much older than you should be to have a baby. God brought John the Baptist to her at this time. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth proclaims Mary to be the one who is carrying the Son of God. Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. So somewhere in there, the story of why Mary is pregnant has come to Elizabeth, probably in the scuttlebutt of people who talk in families. Mary's response we don't read this morning. We do it as a psalm normally, but I want to read it to you. I want you to think about the words in the context of what we've just said. Mary says, my soul magnifies. There's that word. It means my soul praises the Lord, lifts him up, makes him big in my heart. I'm looking at him, at his, how big he is. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I would have trouble saying that that would necessarily be how I would feel if I got pregnant and I wasn't yet married to the guy I'm supposed to be with. You know, God's done great things for me. But she's understanding that she's actually doing something which everybody's looked forward to for all of these years. Micah predicted her having a baby. She's living in the prophecy, and she's right in the middle of God fulfilling his word. What an excited place to be. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation, the ones who revere God, the ones who have holy fear, as in we see God for who he is and recognize that. He has shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Do you hear in there some of the things that Micah was talking about? That the lowly would be lifted up, that God would actually save his people, that his people would not be left in a place of difficulty, that God is there for those who are downtrodden. It's not that God doesn't love the rich. There's nothing in the Bible that says God doesn't love people who are rich, but often those who were rich, especially in Mary's day, were rich because they were taking it off the poor. So if you're taking it off the poor, then God doesn't like that, right? So that's what this is about. God loves those who are rich as much as he loves those who are poor. God does not play favorites in that way, but he especially cares about the poor because he knows what that's like. Jesus was born in a stable, laid in a manger. Absolutely nothing special about it. His parents were not people of note. They were just two people who looked after him and raised him in a normal home back at Nazareth. His father was a carpenter who was probably, carpentry is sort of a middle class thing in those days. So the tradies were not necessarily the lower classes, but they were somewhere in the middle. But still, they're not necessarily the richest people. He knows what poverty is because he's lived in the midst of it, because most people were living it hard in that place because the Romans were taking 50% taxes. Imagine what would happen if they took a 50% tax on everything that you earn today. Doesn't leave you much. So the Romans took 50%. That's before the tax collector took his cut and other things. So sometimes people were paying up to 70% of their income in taxes. They were poor. They were poor. And into this place, God brings someone who wants to relieve their poverty, but not necessarily the actual income poverty, but the poverty of spirit, the missing of God, the fact that people have longed for God for so long and he hasn't been there, or they haven't felt him there. God replaces the poverty of spirit with his Holy Spirit, who he sends through Jesus. Mary's song is something that tells us that God is interested in justice. God is interested in making sure that those who are powerful, sitting on their thrones, not looking after the people below them, are actually dealt with. God is into justice. He's into making sure that the hungry are filled with good things. He's into making sure that people are looked after properly. God has a heart for these people. And one of the reasons why we know this is because God did not sit up in heaven and go, right, okay, I'm just going to send my son, quick, die, come back. He made sure he lived our life. He lived it on purpose because he wanted to work through our life. He wanted to know our life. He did that on purpose because he needed to be fully human to die for us. Fully human to rise for us. And yet fully God to redeem us. God is into justice, proper justice. The justice that takes our sins to the cross because he knows we will never be able to pay the sentence. The justice that redeems us from that, pays the price so that we can live free. The justice that says, when you come to me, I will bring you forgiveness and life. And then you can live in a place where you have the peace and the hope and the joy and the love. The justice that is chesed, covenant love. Truly seeing us for where we are and who we are and loving us all the way into the kingdom of God and beyond. The justice that does not leave. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Through his Holy Spirit, he sends himself, his own self in his spirit, to be with us. It's a great reversal. It is covenant love at work. And Mary celebrates that in her song. And it's called the Magnificat because it magnifies the Lord.